Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 8 o'clock on ESPN 97.5. On a serious note, thoughts and prayers for George Floyd. He was a Yates guy. Did you see the video of him playing football? Man, big tight end. Catching balls. I mean, he looked like it was man against boys when he was at Yates.
Yeah.
Just a big dude. He was killed by police in Minnesota. They're having riots there, and they're spraying irritants to break up the riot, not riots, but protesters. And it's just, man. That video is so hard to watch. Anybody who's seen it,
that's terrible.
You must be seeing it by now. The officer that's just kneeling on his neck and he can't breathe and killed him. And it's just unbelievable that in this year, after all that we've been through, that this is still happening. Man, when the dude can't, when you're on his neck, he can't breathe, and he's telling you he can't breathe. Mm-hmm. It's just so stupid. Stop doing this. Just stop.
He's in custody. He's cuffed.
Is ridiculous. I can see where people are up in arms. This has got to stop. It has got to stop.
You know, he was real tight with Steven Jackson from Port Arthur area. I mean, Steven Jackson, former NBA player. That's what I read yesterday, is that he was very, very tight. He considered him his brother / twin. It is so for Steven Jackson, who's very tight with him. He had an Instagram. Twin, I promise I won't let this BS ride. Already talking to blah, blah, blah. Anyway, from Houston. Anybody from Houston? CUNY Holmes. You know this was my brother. Can't let this ride. All hands on deck. Rest easy, twin. # Minnesota racist ass cops is on here.
Mm-hmm.
There he is. And there's a picture of him. All together, and he's in there. But yeah, he played. He went to Yates and played. And I know you talked about the highlight video he had.
Yep. And there's video now, footage released by a store owner who stated that George did not resist arrest, as stated on the police report. And you can see he was not resisting arrest. That's just so. Those guys have all been fired, but you know what? There's got to be more. There's got to be more. There's got to be some deterrent. There's got to be some deterrent from this. This has got to stop. It's got to stop. And I know that they're in a tough, tough situation. I get it. But this dude certainly looks like he did not deserve any of this. So if that's the case, man, then something more needs to be done. Otherwise, we're going to have more unrest in this country. And it's got to stop.
The crazy thing was, I'm looking at somebody said something on Twitter that Torrey Smith said, people like to defend this bleep, always say something about a few bad apples. And it is true. You don't want one, you know, generalizing is one of the worst things that we do in this country. However, you have other police officers just sitting there.
Yeah.
At what point do you just say, hey, get off of his neck. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You got him.
Yeah.
We're good. We're good.
No, but they all got to stand. Because if you do that, then they're going to go in the locker room. You're not on board with. No. But guess what? Now you're facing murder charges. Congratulations, idiots. I mean, that's just, it's got to stop. 803-ESPN-97.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5. Oh, my God, they got this guy kneeling. They got Colin Kaepernick kneeling.
Hey, you saw that meme.
Yeah. One of these guys lost their job. No, they both did. Oh, my goodness. Just, we got to stop. Anyway, other than that, I mean, it's hard to transition into sports out of that. The NBA is trying to get back, and they're trying to come up with a way to do it. And Damian Lillard says, "I no, if we're going to play three games and we're 3.5 out, I'm not playing." Here's the problem with that, though, is that anybody who's eliminated from the playoffs doesn't play. Now, this is a different situation in that you've been off for months and you're going to go back for just three games. I get that. And you're going to risk injury from not being basketball ready and all of that. I get that. But you don't just quit when your season is over, right? This is obviously different, and I can certainly see his point. He says, "I'll be with my team, but I ain't playing. I ain't playing." And if you're going to play three games and you're 3.5 out, I can understand his point.
So, but he wouldn't get paid, obviously.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if he's going to be. I don't know. I don't know.
Because if he would, Dame is worried about. If he's not going to get paid, he'll just say, "Oh, knee."
Yeah.
That turns into a knee injury like that. That's why I wouldn't be talking publicly if I were a player. I would just not put anything out there publicly. Of course, you could always just say, "Oh, I was training to come back and hurt my back."
Right.
It is a problem if you don't have – look, it's almost like, Dame, I get you, but we got to get 70 in. We got to get 70 in for the basketball-related income. This is a major – because it really is a major, major – if that weren't the case, I don't think you'd see some of the NBA stars making a big deal about coming back to play if it wasn't going to impact their bottom line next year.
Well, the NBA doesn't have to have Damian Lillard, though, to play anyway.
No, they don't. But, I mean, the stars recognize this is going to impact what we make next year 100%. It'll be a huge reduction next year as well. If we can get these games in, it's going to make a big difference to our bottom line.
Dame goes on in that particular in those particular quotes to discuss getting Nurkic back and Zach Collins back and feeling like if they had a full regular season, they had a shot to make the playoffs. So that part of his motivation is, hey, can we get a full 82 because I think my team has a shot. And then he goes on to mention that Russ may play a factor and it might lead to a couple upsets. So who knows, when I have my star center back and my power forward back, who've been out for
either. I'm going to play a full 82.
Well, this is what he's talking about.
Yeah, I know,
about.
But guess what? That's next season. Guess what? Those guys will be back next season.
He goes, "I'm 29. I don't have that many opportunities left." So this isn't simply about, he thinks, at least in his mind, that team, now complete and healthy, has a shot to do something. I would say, you're 8 games under 500, 3.5 back. Maybe you don't deserve, I don't care if those guys come back, maybe you haven't done enough this season to deserve a shot. That's all. It's just, it be that like that sometimes.
Yeah, it's true. But I also understand where a player says, what's the risk reward? Now, here's the thing. If there was no pandemic at all, and let's just say this work stoppage, I think a lot of the same players wouldn't want to come back if there's nothing in it for them from a competitive standpoint. I think a lot of players still wouldn't come back regardless. Right now, you know, you have a pandemic that you can point to. I don't think any players would want to come back after this prolonged a stoppage and come back for three games whether it's financial incentive or, and you would also hope, competitive incentive. Like, what Dame Lillard, by all accounts, is a hugely competitive guy, a guy who takes a bunch of crap because he wants to stay in Portland. He doesn't want to go ring bouncing from team to team, you know, like LeBron is willing to do. Dame Lillard has been, why would Dame, does he even care about winning if he doesn't want to jump from team to team? Like, for a lot of us, you just think this is an absolute real one. This is, Dame Lillard is what it's all about. He's saying, this is my squad, this is my team, this is my city, these are my fans, and I'm going to keep doing everything I can, and management's going to keep doing everything we can to field a team that can win. But a guy who's competitive like that also doesn't want to come back for a few games if he has no chance of making the playoffs. I respect it. I think in the bigger picture, it is pretty important for them financially. Because basketball salaries are based on BRI, basketball-related income. And if they get to 70 games, it triggers money from a TV deal, and there's more money Once that pool gets bigger this year, it impacts what you make next year. That's the important. For those wondering what the big deal is, that's the big deal.
And the Blazers have played 66 games so far, so obviously four would get them to. And the team they're chasing is the Grizzlies, who have played 65. So the 3-game thing is a number. Obviously, that doesn't help them. But even if they played 70, it would be very tough because they're 3.5 back and actually 4 back in the loss column. I would say to what Lance said and what Dame said, if not for a pandemic, those guys probably aren't coming back.
No,
and you're not making the playoffs.
Guess what? The season's over already.
Yeah, you and those guys wouldn't be healthy and helping you. So you're probably not making the playoffs anyway.
Makes no sense. Oh, I wish you got an 82 game season. It's called next year. That's called next year. Year is this year.
Yeah.
And guess what? You didn't have Nurkic. Okay.
Or Collins, and you guys weren't very good.
Yes.
So
what are you talking about?
Yeah. In fact, he points to the pandemic giving his team an advantage. Well, why is it fair to everyone else that injuries occur, they happen to you, and now you're out of the playoffs? Yeah. Why should you be given an advantage?
What?
Because now your guys are back.
No sense. Yeah. None.
Well, this guy just trying to finesse the game, and I understand it, but hey, you don't have to come back. But like he said, treat it like the end of the year, like where you sit out games because you have, like any other season where you have no shot. Well, sit on the bench.
Well,
okay,
that's the question.
Whatever.
That's the question. If they're already out of the playoffs with 5 games to go or 3 games to go, are you playing?
He probably wouldn't have been playing anyway.
Maybe he'd play just to keep. Why not? I mean, there's a lot of guys, a lot of really good players that continue to play even after you're eliminated.
Sometimes it's a team decision. Like it's game 79 and they're 3.5 games out. Dame, if he's played like a full season, he's probably not playing.
Unfortunately, though, bad for the league because there are other teams that are fighting for playoff
positioning. Happens all the time, yeah.
Yeah, that happens all the time. Well, guess what, though? If you don't want to play, don't play. We should have an... What? If we had 82 games... You do. It's called next year. If we had 82 games, yeah. And if Nurkic never got hurt, if Collins never got hurt, boy, he'd be really good. Except they did. Sorry. That's what happened in your season, Dame. Well, I'm 29. So, sorry, you're 29 now. Do you want to start a new NBA season now, Dame? Is that what you want? So we should just start a new season in July.
I've said it multiple times. Everyone's going to have to – it's going to be uncomfortable. Things are going to be weird, and some people aren't going to have this – it's going to suck for some people. And for Dame, in this case, it sucks.
Yeah.
Because –
because your team wasn't very good before.
Your team wasn't very good, so that's just how it's going to be.
Yeah. Well, the Rockets were pretty good, and Mike D'Antoni says there's a key. Who do you think is the key? We'll do that. Who's the key to the Rockets season? Do that on the other side. Right now, though, champion. Being a champion. How's anybody going to get there? You know how you're going to get there? You're going to get there if you go to champion.energy/1560. So it's getting hot. So hot. Kids are home all summer. Doors open. You're paying unbelievable amounts of money because your electricity company is jamming you. Well, guess what? Don't be jammed up. All you got to do is go to champion.energy/1560. I'm telling you, you will save money. You will thank me. It will be less. Your champion bill will be less than your last bill with your company now. It will be. Champion.energy/1560.
This is Heisman's Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 8:14 on ESPN 97.5. Shortest breaks in the world. Shortest breaks in the history of radio. It's unbelievable. 713-780-3776. So Mike D'Antoni was on KHOU's Sports Extra. And he said this. When asked about a third dynamic scorer on the team, who is that? It's Eric Gordon. Is Eric Gordon a third dynamic scorer?
On this team, he is.
Has Eric Gordon been, well, has he been, because for the most part, you got to have three guys, right?
Three legit scoring options.
Yeah. And, well, Eric Gordon has been inconsistent.
He's been hurt, particularly this year.
Well, that's Eric Gordon, though.
Yeah.
That's Eric Fuller.
It was his thing before he got here, and he played a lot the first couple of years, but this past season, he's been, that knee has been an issue, dating back to last year.
Do you believe, like, if you talk about a big three, that Eric Gordon is...
But Eric Gordon has always been, to me, the most important guy, because you take Stoop, like... You take LeBron for... LeBron is going to be LeBron. Superstars are superstars. Eric Gordon, I really feel like since he's been here, he's been secretly the most important ingredient. If you look at the success they've had, a lot of times it aligns with when Eric Gordon plays because he can take you off the dribble. He can create for himself. He can switch defensively. He can shoot from range. And he can score off the dribble. Like, Eric Gordon is very quietly. And then he also has, you know, durability concerns, but I think Eric Gordon has very quietly been the most, not the most important, the biggest wild card for success that the Rockets have had. If you go back and look,
wild card.
It ties.
Well, let's take a look at championship teams. Steph, Clay, Draymond,
Iguodala.
LeBron.
But Iguodala was a monster.
Well, that too.
That was the wild card for
them.
But
even still, their third guy is Draymond. LeBron, Kyrie, Love, LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Bosh.
It depends on how you're built. It depends. Like, I would argue that Draymond is not the third necessarily. Draymond, yeah. Well, it depends on your argument. I think the secret sauce, the X factor. I think it's more of an X factor. To me, it's an argument about X factors. The X factor just happened to be, you could say Draymond, but he's a part of Draymond's a part of the fabric.
Let's say KD, Steph, and Clay.
Well, they were.
That's
you can't
different.
Use. That's one well, of the most loaded.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, Michael, Scotty, and Rodman.
But what really made Golden State really tough? They could bring Iguodala off the bench. When did that guy ever miss?
They were 5, 6, 7.
I know, but when did Iguodala miss a big shot? I saw him against the Rockets maybe miss 2 shots ever. I'm almost positive Iguodala shot over 80% from the field against the Rockets in the playoffs.
Well, that
seems like he never missed.
That's my point on this. Is Eric Gordon really that third wheel on a championship team?
Well, no, but you're just saying he's the guy. I think Eric Gordon was incredibly important when Chris Paul had his healthy year here. Because Eric Gordon was the third scorer. Because when James went out, you could still have two guys who could create for themselves.
Unfortunately, and then...
In this offense, though, John, it's a special offense.
So when Chris Paul disappeared, his magic powers of being able to score... I mean, 0 for 27, Eric Gordon can't pull you out. That's the problem.
But you're talking about
Eric
a game.
Gordon is like, to me, if you're talking about the third wheel in a championship, Eric Gordon's not that.
Well, you're just talking about then you got to have a big three.
Yeah.
If that's the only model.
Well, that's
and
the
I
only way you win.
I don't agree with that.
And other than Dirk, that's the only way you win.
No, I don't agree with that model because I think we've seen the Detroit Pistons model. It was a few years ago, but I would even argue that San Antonio Spurs, Tony Parker and Manu weren't the same players. Tim Duncan weren't the same players. They had Kawhi, and they had a good mix of veterans on
the
team.
Three really
They weren't
good
superstars
players.
At the time, though. They weren't weren't star players.
What are you talking about?
They were winning still when they weren't 24 a game. You're talking about superstars. Chris Bosh was a high-level young all-star when the LeBron... The threesome. Think about the threesomes you're talking about. Monster talents.
That's what I'm talking about.
I don't think
so. Name the last time you didn't have three that won a championship.
Last year, the Raptors.
Yeah,
There wasn't a legit question.
Well, Kawhi, Siakam, and yeah.
No, Siakam's not a star.
I mean, Kyle Lowry.
Well, Siakam was
no,
a star
you have good players.
Last year.
That, no, but that he wasn't headed into the season.
And
he became
a third.
But no, but he was a star
and who
in
was
that season.
But we're debating a third anyway.
Whoa, but who was
Kyle,
the guy?
Well, Kyle
who
Lowry.
Who was the X factor that made that team?
Kyle Lowry in the
nope.
playoffs. Actually,
Fred Van Fleet.
Van Fleet
Van
was
Fleet.
The guy.
Well, so, yeah, but Kyle Lowry finally stepped up.
But the point
finally
is,
finally stepped up.
You always need an X factor that you don't... For the Rockets, for some teams you do. For the Rockets, it was Sam Cassell the second year. Or no, the first year. Sam Cassell was this X factor who had come off the bench and like, man, this guy, I wouldn't put him as a core, you know, top three superstar. Sam Cassell gave them balls in 93-94.
Yeah, but that was 20
years. Yeah, but as far as...
No, I'm just
but
pointing
25
out,
years
but
ago.
But I'm pointing last something year. That's recent.
I know,
Van Fleet is last
but
year.
For the most part, you guys, for the most
Robert
part.
Robert Horry has been that multiple times.
Not the third wheel. He scored 8 a game.
No, I'm not saying third wheel. That's what I'm saying. It's not about third wheel. It's about X factors at the right times are the key.
Okay. And Eric Gordon has not been that.
But Eric Gordon is a second scorer who can create for himself on the Rockets have talked about this multiple times.
I know. This is not my analysis.
I've talked
about it, but how about the reality of it?
Well, the reality is they have had good teams that have faltered in game sevens. Or game six is in one case, but Eric Gordon, how he plays is a direct, is it does in many
and,
cases
and
have a direct impact.
And the point being that Eric Gordon obviously has not stepped up enough to be the X factor to put you over a title.
What's your initial question then? What's the question?
Is Eric Gordon enough to be the third guy that you can count on to win a championship?
Well, let's look at the league this year and whether it comes back. Let's look at the best teams in as far as do they have a legit third talent in terms of star? Because we can point to the past, but what about this year? The Lakers, AD, LeBron, who's their third guy?
Well, Kuzma's supposed to be it.
But is he it? Do you think he's it?
Would you rather have Kuzma or Eric Gordon?
I would take the youth of Kuzma, but Kuzma doesn't play any defense. He doesn't give me much. I don't like Kuzma as a player, but that's just my bias.
Like Kuzma,
that's my
okay.
bias. The Bucks, there's Giannis, Middleton, and whoever. You're not sure who's the legit third. If we're comparing them to past teams, who's the legit superstar third guy? They don't have one,
and they haven't won anything.
Well, it's a different NBA.
Yeah,
that's pretty much what I'm pointing to.
Well,
but all the best teams in the league don't have what the Warriors did or the Heat did. It's not that the third guy doesn't really exist on those teams anymore. That's why if you're a Rockets fan, you can go, well, is Eric Gordon as good as Eric Bledsoe? Or whoever you want to give the Lakers or Kyle Kuzma, if you are trying to side with D'Antoni's argument, you could point to this year in the league and go, there's not a legitimate elite third player on the best teams in basketball. The Clippers, George, Leonard, and who? Is it Beverly?
Well,
is it
okay,
Lou Williams?
No, with the Bucks. Go back to the Bucks.
Okay.
Bledsoe or Eric Gordon?
Bledsoe's a terrible playoff player. That's his issue.
And so far, I haven't seen Eric Gordon really, because Eric Gordon, name the big, he was unbelievable in that playoff game, and boy, oh boy, Eric Gordon wouldn't be.
I think you're hyper, folks, and is Eric Gordon good enough? The fact is the Rockets, as they are built, are not good enough, period.
Well,
yeah, it's Eric Gordon, that's everybody. The Rockets aren't a championship-caliber team. No. That's a real easy one. No. Not Eric Gordon, not anything about the way they're built right now is championship in the West. No. That's a real simple one right now to me. That's not a team that's going to beat the Lakers.
I don't disagree with that, but
the Lakers or the Clippers. That's why.
I understand them touting their own team. I get it. But I get it. But my point being, you got to upgrade. Yeah, you got two stars in Russ and James. You got to get more help for them. And Eric Gordon's not the answer.
That's a lot
First
of superstar
of all, stay
power,
healthy.
Though. That's a lot of superstar power. You just have to get the right third piece. You need to get younger. Eric Gordon is older and has some issues with, you know, playing 82. He can't play 82. Not only 82. He is having a hard time playing a high number of games. That's always going to be my problem. When you rely on players who are not durable, a.k.a. Will Fuller, Tracy McGrady. We'll see, with the Astros, we'll see how Lance McCullers, you know, stays healthy in the future. Obviously, this year is a weird year, and we don't even know if they'll play baseball. But you can't Tracy McGrady, Yao Ming. It seems like forever. Now J.J. Watt. It seems like forever Houston teams have been relying upon guys who don't stay healthy. That's why having a guy like James Harden, for the things we complain about, James Harden is a horse.
Yep.
Like James shows up. He's durable. He plays. He doesn't ask for days off. James is a freaking horse, and he goes to work. So you can say what you want about James. I just know that as a superstar, James Harden's going to show up. I know that. Deshaun's going to show up. I know that. You know, Jose Altuve is going to show up. He's had one injury that I can remember that kept him out. Altuve shows up. Really, I think the Astros have been a team that, other than Correa, most of the star players have been pretty durable unless they've had, you know, we know what George's injury was when he had that collision. Altuve's injury with the, what was the hammy, right? Or was it the groin or the hammy that Altuve had? The knee? I'm trying to remember his injury.
I think it was a...
No, I think it was a knee, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a balky knee. Yep.
Yeah, it was
yep.
a knee.
Yep. Yep.
But they generally speaking, have been healthy, the star players over there. Justin Verlander, horse.
Well, and the point being, you look at everybody's roster that's actually a contender. In L.A., yeah, you got Kuzma. And you know, you can like Kuzma or not like Kuzma. The Clippers. And Lou Williams. I'll take Lou Williams all day. Mm-hmm. All day over.
Issue with the Rockets is lack of depth of the roster. I mean, I don't. They are going things just because Mike D'Antoni said it. That's why the discussion started. But as far as depth of roster, how many guys on this Rockets roster make playoff rotations on the best teams in basketball? Looking at them.
That's a good question. It's not great.
Nope. It's not great. Nope. There aren't that many. Actually, if you want to know the truth, how many contenders are there actually?
There's
for
not.
The title?
There's not a lot of contenders. There's probably five.
Lakers, Clippers, Bucks.
Mm-hmm. Would you? I put the C's in there.
The Celtics.
Yep.
And they got young talented team. They got four guys. Mm-hmm. They're deep. As long as Gordon Hayward is in a head case, and he's actually there. And Toronto. And Van Vliet is playing his ass off again this year. So, but yeah, hey, Kyle Lowry's averaged 20 a game. That's.
But last year, regular season, 14 or something, because Kawhi was there, he was taking shots. But when you guys were having that back and forth, Kyle Lowry wouldn't be in part of that whole elite players of the game thing in terms of talented threesomes to win a title. He was a good player in the playoffs. He had his particular moments in the finals. And I think that was maybe what Lance's point. You have to find guys who will make shots. And you can't expect Kyle Lowry to be a consistent 20-point-a-game scorer in the finals. That's not what he is anymore. But can you get two games from him? Can you get three?
It tips the scale.
Yeah.
The scale gets tipped when you have a guy like, man, Van Vliet, I didn't see him doing this. And he's sitting there raining those threes last year. I'm like, holy crap,
he averaged eight a game in the postseason.
He stepped up, well...
He averaged eight a game, so it wasn't like he was...
No, he was big a shot. He struggled early, and then whatever reason, when after the birth of his son, he exploded. I'm not sure how that played a part, but it did.
When you win games, when you are instrumental in winning a game, a single game in the finals, that's monstrous. You're one of, in a seven-game series, if you are responsible, a big reason why you win a game, well, it only takes four wins. You've been a big reason why you've won 25% of the games needed for a championship. That's a really big deal.
Yeah. No. He stepped, no question. He stepped up in the finals, but it wasn't like he...
That's how Big Game Bob, who averaged double figures, like two seasons, out of his whole career, and we call him Big Shot Bob. That guy's got a crap load of rings because for whatever reason, when it came time to be clutch, it all started with that little reverse pass that he didn't make against
San Antonio.
It was San Antonio, right? Yeah. He was supposed to make a reverse pass, and he was like, crap, I guess I'll shoot. And once that one went in, his legend was born. That was
his only basket of the game.
That, I know.
Yeah.
And it was a monster.
What?
That was his whole career, his monster plays.
829 ESPN, 97.5.
I didn't realize Van Vliet was averaging 17.6 a game right now.
Yeah.
And 6.6 assists.
Yep.
Holy crap.
Contract year.
829 ESPN. Well, or that finals gave him a lot of confidence.
Oh, but it's certainly also what I really meant was in terms of in a big year for him, he's proven his worth, and I don't know if Toronto can keep him.
Yep. 713-780-3776, 829.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, you weren't lying about that, Dell. Looking at Van Vliet's game logs in the playoffs, I can tell you exactly where his son was born. Between games 3 and games 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals, it must have been. Because it goes 13, 21, 14, 15, 17, 11, 8, 11, 22.
Well, if you go to his Twitter feed, he tweeted out, I think yesterday, that his son is now 1 year old. So
520, I'm guessing around 520 is around the time. Maybe 521 when he had 13 points.
Yeah, I don't know the exact, but like I said, I just went to his Twitter handle, and he just tweeted out about the birth of a son, which I think was yesterday, so that would make it 526. So I don't know the exact date. Actually, 519. JR will be one tomorrow already. Time
519.
Flies.
He scored 3 points the next game after he was born. After he was born, here's his playoff runs before his son was born. Ready? This is in 2019. Let's see. 3-0-1-0-5-1-4-2-5-3. Son is born. 13-21-14-15-17-11-8-11-22.
You ever had a pregnant woman at home? Oh, yeah.
No. What's it like? Is it weird? Is it cool? Is it fun?
How freeing is it when she's no longer pregnant? Of course, you get her pregnant again right away.
No, it's...
You don't ever have
it's not that freeing.
You always have a pregnant woman at home.
A whole new... No, not for 10 years.
E wants to get in here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, E?
Hey, guys. You can hear me?
Yeah.
Yep.
Why not just scrap the rest of the season and do like a Champions League-style tournament, have group stages and just playing games, basically, and instead of having it East and West, have it 1 through 30 and play it like a kind of like a college March Madness-type tournament, I guess, and I do that.
Is that fair to the teams that were good before the break?
Well, they're planning. Well, that's one of the alleged plans they're looking at. A group stage. Now, I don't think it'd be for all 30. I think Mark Cuban wants an all 30, but there is some support for that group stage thing, where it's a round robin, and then you advance. I think it's more for the teams in the lower seedings. Like, hey, we'll get you 7 through 12. We'll find a way to make that competitive, which would make Dame happy. And maybe the teams from like 1 through 4 don't have to deal with that. Because that's what hockey's plan is. If hockey starts a playoff, it'll be the top 4 seeds in each conference will play each other round robin to determine seeding. But 7 through 12 in each conference will play 5-game series to advance. But the top 4 in each are guaranteed, obviously, and then they get to play to determine who's the 1 seed. So that's hockey's plan. I don't
right.
Basketball
5 through 12 are going to play.
Yeah, 5 through 12 will play a 5-game series.
Right.
on each side,
and then 1 through 4 on each side are going to be. They're going to have a round robin
to determine seeding. And basketball has something similar. That's a proposal in basketball too, to get more teams involved in this playoff, and it wouldn't be a traditional 1-8 matchup and obviously 2-7, all that stuff. So I don't think that one – it doesn't seem like that one has a lot of support. That's kind of like the hipster NBA Twitter push to make things more exciting and get more people involved. But I don't see the – I don't know if the NBA wants to be so drastic.
Well, they do want to end season with the tournament. They want the soccer-style tournament at some point, Champions League, inside the season. So it's not like they're not – they're obviously for that idea for creating more – look, I think it'd be – cool. I think it'd be cool as hell to have a tournament that doesn't look like the NBA playoffs, that does look different. We're in a different time. I didn't care about the NFL draft coverage. The NFL draft coverage is different, and people celebrated it because we're in a different time anyway. Something brand new, something cool to see. This is the one time they may do it in basketball. If you're ever going to do something different, if you ever want to take a shot, now's your free. You get a free play here, basically. You're saying, look, everything's on the table now because this is a different type of season. If you ever wanted to try something, now is the time to try it in baseball and in basketball because You're not going to have full seasons. You might as well throw something in there. And if it's going to be a tournament where you seed it and you bring, you know, conferences together and you don't worry about Western and Eastern Conference, now's the year to do it. You can do it and viably say, look, this is a different kind of year. We're going to have more teams in the playoffs, or we're going to reseed, or whatever you don't do now, you don't do in the past, you could do in this year.
So Kevin O'Connor, the Ringer, he has something. I'll give you his favorite possible playoff type deal and see if you like it. It would be World Cup like, where you use the regular season to determine the tiers, and it would be 20 teams. So teams like, well, Dame, as we keep talking about, would be in. Group one would be Bucks, Jazz, Sixers, Grizzlies, Blazers. Now you would put teams in tiers, so the tiers would be Bucks, Lakers, Raptors, Tier 1, and Clippers, Tier 1.
Oh, like groups?
Yeah, group stages. But you would put them, and just like the World Cup will seed and determine to try to balance out the groups.
Yeah.
You'll have Celtics, Nuggets, Jazz, Heat. The Tier 3 could include the Rockets, Pacers, Sixers, and Thunder. So the Rockets group, though, would be one where they had the Lakers, the Heat, themselves, the Magic, and the Pelicans. So the Rockets would have to try to advance. The top two, I guess, would advance into the knockout series round stages.
You play round robin cool. Just like soccer.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
And then some of the other groups, Raptors, Celtics, Thunder, Mavericks, Spurs, and then Clippers, Nuggets, Pacers, Nets, Kings.
That'd be neat.
Who would be the group? Would the Rockets be in a group? No, probably
group
not.
Death?
Probably not. I think the Jazz, Bucks, Sixers, Grizzlies, Blazers might be the group of death.
Yeah, that's a group of death.
Because you have the Sixers who have underachieved but have a lot of talent. But I think for – would that be a one-year thing for you guys, or would you like the top 20 seeded throughout for the next, I don't know, however long the playoffs are a thing in basketball? Or do you just want it for this year?
I would be willing to make a drastic change, because the 8 seed doesn't matter. Now, the argument against this is going to be – could be that it in a very small sample size, you got a chance to get somebody out of a play – you know, there's a greater chance of an upset of a major seed in a small. The more games you have, obviously. The sample size.
So you play
expands.
One game. And
no, you round robin.
Round robin against each, and yeah. That's it.
And they, I guess, I don't know how you. He didn't really go into how you determine who advances in the round robin stage, but at least.
Can you imagine how every game is a monster game? It feels that way in the playoffs. So I mean, realistically. Remembering what it's like in the playoffs, every game feels like a monster game. But can you imagine the amount of, like, I think people would care more about teams who weren't in their groups if they're watching and they know that, man, I can't believe the Lakers could get eliminated. The Lakers have to win this game because they lost in the first game to, you know, whoever. People would be watching.
I will say the World Cup thing is not exactly apples to apples, because in the World Cup qualifying, you're playing one region, so the strength of your region may be far superior than the strength of the, let's say Germany has to go through the Netherlands and Italy to qualify. A team in CONCACAF in Mexico, they have to go through the U.S., who ain't great, and Costa Rica, and then you get, but in basketball. You're kind of playing the same schedule. It's not. I mean, sure, you have the Western Conference, Eastern Conference thing, but it's not like this is such an extreme difference between what you have to do to qualify in basketball to what you have to do in soccer. So I get the soccer model, because strength of schedule is drastically different. I'm not sure basketball is that different. So then are you rewarding the Bucks if they go through the season as a number one seed, and instead of, you know, playing the 8 seed, they have the Jazz and the Sixers in their round robin, even though the schedules aren't that different? If I'm the Bucks, I'm like, why do I have to play the Jazz and the Sixers when I was the best team all year?
No.
I would be pissed.
It doesn't seem fair.
Yeah.
If you go 82 games and this is what you get?
Yeah.
I mean, 82 games, if you're the number one seed, you should have it's happened before that the 8 seed
should,
is won.
You shouldn't be challenged the way you would be challenged. Soccer's different because you could be playing Macedonia or in a qualifying round. So you have to try to balance things out to make it fair in terms of who qualifies and who doesn't. I think basketball, I would be pissed. Like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Why are we playing this whole season?
Yeah, if I still have legit champion contenders before I even get to the knockout series rounds.
Yeah. Yeah, no question. 840 ESPN, 97.4. We'll see. I mean, in the NFL, did you see? Now, I guess apparently you can't do anything. The NFL Players Association says, we haven't agreed to any reopening plan. Well, you're supposed to be working or something. I mean, you haven't even been affected. You're just sitting at home. Actually, you've had a whole off season off. You haven't lost any money. You haven't, not, in no way, shape, or form. All you've had to do is go to meetings virtually so far. We haven't agreed to any real. What do you mean? What do you mean reopening plan?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, any reports about coming back to work are hypothetical. You will hear from the NFLPA when there are new developments. What?
Yeah, John reads it like everything is hypothetical.
You well, that's J.C. Treader.
It's yeah. pretty much, hey.
Well, wait a minute. You're supposed to be at work.
Just
and you're
a,
not.
Hey, he just whipped it out and said, hey, guys, nothing happens till we say it happens. Pretty much
that's all that's yeah. all that was yesterday is he just came out and said, listen, I just want to establish that we're not just giving in to any old thing. We're going to make
what,
sure
giving
that we have
in to what
protocols of safety, et cetera. But here's the thing. Here's what is – that's a little bit of a front, a little bit, because – NFL teams right now are doing the same thing in terms of safety, and they still have the time on their side. It's May. They still have time. They all want to make sure that it's safe for workers and this, that, and the other. NFL teams are also doing the same thing. This is just a chance for him to say, hey, don't show up anywhere. We don't. Yeah, no kidding. No one is showing up anywhere. Just because they're opening it up, it's not mandatory. Your OTAs are not even.
You don't even have OTAs.
You're only showing OTAs. Yeah. So what's he talking about?
I don't. I says right. That's what I'm saying.
There's no.
Well, we're not. We haven't agreed to anything. Agreed to what?
Get it's May. No one's even saying that your season may not even start till October. It's okay.
Yeah. Don't try to tell us what to do. Wait.
You're not the boss of me.
We're not really.
Like, oh, it's May. See,
we didn't tell you what to do.
Here's the deal.
We're just sitting here.
J.C. Treader, if you were in the XFL, none of this crap would be happening. Because in the spring, I'll be totally safe.
Is that a,
I feel
is that
like
a
this
fact?
Whole thing is all the spikes have gone on in the spring. Maybe I'm wrong. I feel like March and April is when we've had the most issues.
It seems like
and yeah. May right now.
Next
Houston.
Spring? Oh, really?
Well,
okay,
I don't know.
Your team. Oh, your league plays this fall.
and you know,
or it's going to be dangerous.
Administrators are saying, at least the college administrators are cutting their semesters short because they're afraid of the November spike. So they're not. So they won't. I think Notre Dame is one of the schools.
Texas, maybe,
South Carolina is too.
After Thanksgiving, you're done.
Yeah, I think South Carolina's out like that too. Hey, no school after Thanksgiving. We're shortening this because we're afraid of a spike.
Let's go back in February when the XFL starts.
Everything ties into the XFL, a league, by the way, that doesn't exist right now.
I know.
Does exist.
I know.
You know what? I don't need insurance against it. That's what I don't need.
No, TGS. TGS Insurance does make sure you have the homeowner's insurance you need, though. And one of the reasons I was asking my mom about this. I said, hey, what does your homeowner's insurance look like? She goes, well, we've got it. We're with this big company, and they've got all of our insurance. And I said, so you're happy with them? She said, yeah. I said, so homeowner's is good? She goes, well, that went up again this year. It's gone up the last 4 years in a row. And I'm like, mom. So I had to have a little talk with mom. And let her know that, look, this is what they do. Once you lock in with the same insurance company, they start to raise your rates. And then the way they get you is, and she even said this, well, we have so many discounts because we do home with them. We do this. We do our jewelry with them. Like, yeah, every company will do jewelry. It doesn't matter. Everyone's got the same thing. They make you believe that you get all these discounts, but then they're raising your rates systemically, and you end up paying way more than you have to. Go with TGS Insurance. They can get you A-rated insurance, then get you coverage on the jewelry, separate policies for your jewelry or for your camper or for your RV, whatever the case may be. And in most cases, they're saving you money. The average savings is almost $900, and it couldn't be more simple to find out. Just text MONEY to 232323. That's MONEY to 232323, and they will give you a firm homeowner's insurance quote within 15 seconds. What? 15 seconds. TGSinsurance.com. Text MONEY to 232323.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 8:48 on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 to get in here. 713-780-3776. Let's get Biscuit in. Everyone's been waiting a little bit. What do you say, Biscuit?
Hey, top of the morning to you, fellas.
What's up, Biscuit? How you doing, man?
Hey, man. First, man, since Jordan already, you know, been snitching and throwing people under the bus for, you know, in the series here, man, I just seen that the governor said that you can start playing recreational sports or whatever. Man, they've been playing softball at the country club with Lance over off of 90 for at least a month, man. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been back down 90 lately? I mean, every time I go down 90 on a Friday, man, it's packed over there. They've been playing softball tournaments for a month now.
Yeah, I believe it. Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Just stay away from each other. No high fives, no spitting, no toothpicks.
No toothpicks?
I guess.
What do you mean toothpicks?
Dusty can't have a toothpick this baseball season.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No toothpicks. No okay. No sunflower no seeds. No nothing. No spitting.
No saliva out of the mouth.
Yeah.
Don't spit your gum on the ground. Can you chew gum?
No. No chewing gum.
Well, you can still chew and spit.
No, you can't chew and spit.
Well, you have to be able to.
No.
That's free.
No sunflower seeds, no nothing.
So you're taking away someone's freedoms to chew.
Yeah, yeah. Biscuit, you getting those games?
Hey. I'm not going near no crowd, man. You know, y'all go ahead. I'm
good.
Y'all go ahead. Let me see what happened in a month, you know, then I'll see.
That's how I am.
See how y'all come out.
I like when the other gophers come out of their holes to go. And I'm with you. I'm like, I'll poke my head out and just look. I'm like, hey, tell me what happens over there when y'all get past the hunters. Are we good? They're done? There's not a blind? Duck blind? Okay, I'll fly out there.
In the game war, you're going to be one of the guys in the back, aren't you?
I'm just looking like this.
Okay.
What's going on out there? Y'all good?
Yeah.
We're all, restaurants are all open. Let's go. I'm like, I'm going to give it a couple weeks, see what happens with y'all. I'm going to see what these numbers look like.
Exactly.
And actually, the numbers went up, and I still went out to eat.
Let me say this about the NBA. And this is, I didn't even realize this, Lance and John. I was looking at the, you know, the standings last night, and there's a difference in the amount of games played. It's significant enough, man. Like, for example, the Mavericks are playing, like, 67 games, and the Lakers are playing like 63. So I don't even know how you can start setting up brackets if they have everybody has to play the same amount of games for you to set it up. And so it's going to be interesting how they do that. But if I was the NBA, you scrap the bottom 10 teams and you just start out with 20. And you do it like an AAU tournament. All these guys that played AAU before, you do an AAU tournament, and I guess you'd have to do pool play to get the Lakers and the Mavericks and everybody to play at least 70 games. So I guess the Lakers would have to play 7 games, and the Mavericks would have to play 3, and everybody else is kind of like 4 or 5 games. And then after everybody gets to 70, you see 1 through 20, right? But the bottom 6 have to play in. And it'd be a 1-game play in, the bottom 6. So, like, say 18 and 19 play each other, mm-hmm. and 17 and 20 play each other, and the two winners play – 15 and 16, and then the two winners get in at the bottom of the bracket.
I have no problem with any type, especially for this year, any type of bracket format that's new, that's updated. Like I said, you can do it 1 year and say, look, we're just going to try it this year, see what it looks like, and then you move on. You can get away from it easily and go back to your standard format. But if you're going to do something new and exciting, this is the year to do it, especially if you can reduce the amount of total games, which would, of course, television package probably doesn't love that, but if you could reduce the amount of total games for a certain amount of teams, you could also sell that as being safer too. So I wouldn't mind it, Biscuit. I don't have any problem with it. Dell, do you think ultimately since Silver has talked, Adam Silver's talked so much about soccer and liking some of the things they do, do you think that we could end up seeing a World Cup format? Like, I think the stages or the group stage.
Yeah.
I love that idea. I love the
idea.
They
do it in golf now at the match plays.
Is that what they do too?
They do group. Yeah. Yeah. It's excellent.
You create many dramas inside that group.
Yeah.
I think if you do that, you should shorten the year. You should shorten the season. It shouldn't be
82. They're not shortening years. They need all that income.
Go to 70. I don't care. If 70 is a number that we're pointing to now, go to 70.
Smart. Yeah, actually, it makes a lot of sense.
If 20 teams are making the playoffs, make it a race to 70,
whatever. If you have more games that count, quote-unquote count, that's always the argument about basketball, right? And really, it should be the argument about baseball as well. But if basketball, it's like, that would allow you to start basketball later, which is the big deal. Starting in December would be the big deal. Then you could go 70 and then get to the games that count. That's a great idea to me.
And to the discussion in the last segment, if you do it, and I'm not so far against it. Adam Silver seems progressive in terms of his ideas about how he's trying to advance the game and make it better. I could see it happening. It's the one sport I could see something dramatic happening because basketball seems like it likes to try things. I think you have to wait your regular season record quite a bit. So if you're the Bucks and you win, if you go 55-15, far and away the best record, you make that group stage not as easy as possible, but the easiest you could possibly get it. Because what's the reward if the scenario that was pointed to in the last segment is, you're the number one seed, but there are two other 40-win teams in your group. Thanks, I guess. Thanks for dominating the regular season. I think you'd have to wait it where the Bucks are playing the dregs almost of and maybe you have one legit team.
I think
but
you
not
have
two.
If you have your own formulas for, I would rather have a selection show, not where you have a formula like the BCS where you see the form. I'd rather have a selection show. Now, the problem would be you'd still have fans complain about this is biased against this team or that team or West Coast buyers, or they just want LeBron to have an easy trip or whatever. But can you imagine a selection show where everyone's waiting to see where their team, their groups, what group they get put in? Like, and in this, it's the same as college in the bracket. You show up and in the West region, it's this, look at this matchup. This is the matchup I'm circling. That's what people – I just think it would create a lot of good television, a lot of good radio, and a lot of conversation for fans who just say, this is the group stage I don't want to miss. I do not want to miss out on I think the Nuggets are a real dangerous team in this group because you look at if they can get out of here, it turns into stuff like that. It gives you more things to talk about.
And would you want a full-length seven-game series afterwards, or do you make them five-game series? Because after the group stage, what do you do as far as deciding the team?
The only problem with that is that you got human error. And like you said, a group of death. If I finish first now, I play the eighth seed. That's it. And I know that. And they were the eighth seed, and they were the worst team in the playoffs, and they have the worst record. I know that. I got to depend on Adam Silver and this group to give me a decent group. What if I'm in a group of death? I'm like, wait a minute.
Well, it's the same thing soccer's countries have dealt with for years. Yeah. The World Cup's been around a lot longer than NBA basketball has.
Right.
So I don't think it's bad. Let me put it this way.
The World Cup has a formula. It's not a group of people select. It's
there is an actual
numbers
formula
and ratings for that.
And
that
maybe
type of stuff.
that's best to get. But I like the idea of not knowing what it's going to look like. Like if you made the formula public, yes, that's oversight. It's transparent. But at the same time, you don't have the same, like the BCS, I guess you have an unveiling show every, Tuesday with the BCS rankings and things like that. But I do like the idea of not knowing what it's going to look like and a selection show for the playoffs. Oh,
that's soccer too. I mean, we don't do it. We don't watch it here because we're in America.
But I guess the formulas already tell you what it is.
No, they put you in different tiers and groups, but they have to decide who goes where and who plays where. So those are surprises. That's a big thing. Like I said, we don't care about it here, but they have a whole show. They have all the stars show up at the thing. And then they just show, Brazil, and Chile's in their group. And everyone goes, what? They do that same thing. It's just we don't pay attention to it.
Yeah. Soccer fans do, but we don't.
Yeah, we don't do it.
But I also think the NBA has a chance to distance themselves from baseball and say, and they're probably not looking at it like that, but to say, look, we're going to do something new, something that borrows from a sports landscape that is coming up a little bit, and we're going to do something that is more what lends itself more to short attention span than flipping the games constantly and who you're playing. I mean, I just think it's a great opportunity. Is there any chance that goes through?
If they do it this year, it would be a test case. It would have to be really successful.
But is Kevin O'Connor, is that just his? Is this being discussed or is this just Kevin O'Connor?
It's been reported that that's a potential thing where they use World Cup type stuff to determine the playoffs and the champion.
Silver's into it, so it wouldn't shock me.
But I don't know if the owners
are serious. Oh, the owners aren't going to be. I don't want to have a kickball thing. And they'll do the old.
Are they all Drayton?
No, I guess they're not all Drayton. Actually, they're a little more hip, I think. But I do think the owners, at the end of the day, will be more conservative and say, I don't want to hear about all this group stages. Let's just do the regular thing. Let's do regular. Can I just get the missionary format, please? Give me the missionary playoff format. I don't need wheelbarrow format.
Pile driver?
I don't need pile driver playoffs. Just give me standard missionary, watch TV afterwards, go to sleep playoffs.
In Switzerland, they found the safest way to do it. Reverse cowgirl.
What?
Yep.
Why Switzerland?
I don't know. Switzerland came up with this. I don't know. It's a story. What do you want me to say? The Swiss are.
Where did you see this story?
You want me to show you the story?
I would like you to point to it. I don't want to come in there and you show it to me. Just put the link on the rundown.
About to get a picture of Lizzo. Here's the article. And Dale comes in. Oh, he catfished you. He clickbaited you.
I don't want to see that.
I just showed him a picture of Lizzo.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's not 8:59.
I didn't ask. He just did it.
8:59 ESPN.
That's actually it. I don't know. You can't just force pictures on me.
I did.
I know. You're not allowed to just
do
that.
I just turned my... Look.
He goes, hey, look at this. What? That's for that.
8:59 ESPN.
I mean, it's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.